The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who drew the water knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, I found myself on the shores of Upper Suncook Lake in the middle of New Hampshire. It was 9 degrees out and the sun was rising, and needless to say, the lake was frozen. It was a beautiful picture. The sky was clear, just beginning to brighten up. I could see my breath in the air. And there was no indication, seemingly no indication, that anything was wrong in the world. It seemed as if all was well. Except for one thing. There was the sound of cracking, creaking, groaning ice. The ice was crashing into each other beneath the surface of the snow that had fallen. And this made sitting on the shore of this lake a rather terrifying experience, because every 10 minutes I would hear this crash and I would think that I was going to fall in for some reason. Creation itself groans sometimes. Creation itself cannot keep silent sometimes, just like the words from the prophet Isaiah that we read today. "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest." The prophet here is interceding for the people of God to God. The prophet is calling out, crying out for God to see them. The prophet really, really wants someone, especially God, to look at the plight of the people of Israel and to restore them to beauty, to belovedness, and to delight. You see, there's danger afoot for the people of Israel in this time and in this place. They have been exiled and they are scared that they will never return to their home. And the prophet says, "No, you will return to your home. You will come back and your land will be married." The prophet will not be silent because the prophet believes that by crying out, he will turn God's favor towards the people once more. Because the people are on the brink of something frightening, but they are also on the brink of restoration. There is possibility for good here. Jesus, in our gospel text for today, is similarly in a scary situation. Now, how much do y'all know about the Roman Empire? I'm really asking because we don't often talk about it, but the Roman Empire is what one of my professors calls the pervasive context of the New Testament. You see, the Roman Empire provides the ever-present political, economic, societal, and religious framework and context for everything in the New Testament. Its claims, its language, its structure, its personnel, and its scenes. The New Testament texts are meant to guide the first century followers of Jesus in negotiating Rome's power that will eventually crucify Jesus. Those words come from scholar Warren Carter, who I was made to read in my Intro to New Testament class, and I highly recommend his book. It's very accessible. One thing that he talks about there in the book is that 90% of the people living in the Roman Empire were living in poverty. 90%. These were the people who farmed the land, who created the carpentry, who made it possible for the wealthy to live the lives they lived. They were exploited. And these are the people that Jesus is about to minister to. These are the oppressed, the marginalized, the poor, and these are who Jesus loves. Now, Jesus is about to go to these people that he loves and say, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And that's good news, friends. But it's also scary news because the people in power did not want to hear that the kingdom of God was at hand. They wanted to hear a different message, or maybe no message at all. Jesus is about to speak truth to power, the way the prophet spoke truth to power in Isaiah. In our gospel text today, Jesus is 30 years old and he's been invited to a wedding. And he goes. He's about to do this really scary thing of preaching and proclaiming the good news of the gospel of God, and he decides to take time to go to a wedding, of all things, along with his mother and his disciples. And at this wedding, he sits at a table, and he eats, and he drinks, and he talks, and he laughs with the people around him, because he knows that it is through celebration, through the sitting together at table with food and drink and laughter, that we form the bonds that are the cornerstone of resistance to empire. Now, I am not Jesus, but I do know what it's like to be on the brink of something scary. Empire is still entrenched in our world. It looks very different now, but it is deeper than any individual president, it's deeper than any individual political party, and it's still around. It looks like systems of oppression and domination, means of greed and malice that exploit people and exploit the land. Systems of extraction and political authoritarianism that we have taken a shift towards in this world and in this country. Empire today looks different, but it is still here. And friends, I don't know about you, but I'm scared. I'm scared of what will happen to my friends who are queer. I'm scared of what will happen to immigrants. I'm scared of what will happen to all of us as we move forward into a world that is turning towards empire even more deeply. But Jesus gives us a pattern for how to live under empire. Jesus joins in with the song of creation that is groaning and crying out. We must not be complacent. We must not put our heads down and cover our eyes and our ears. We must cry out the way Jesus did. We must proclaim the fact that the kingdom of God is at hand, is near, and we must reach for the kingdom with all of our might. We must speak out against the injustice of empire with our loudest voices, with our most beautiful songs, and with the food we share with one another when we sit at table and build bonds of friendship and love that will sustain us through the coming years of fear. We must follow Jesus' example. The pattern of Jesus' life is this pattern of resistance to empire, and it's the importance of celebration alongside speaking truth to power. It's the importance of loving the people who are closest to you and also the people who are a little further away. So what does this mean for us? We must do what Jesus did at the beginning of his ministry and gather together. We must sit at table with our friends. Today is my 26th birthday. And I'm here and I'm alive. And on Friday, I invited some of my friends and my family to my apartment and we had soup. Specifically, we had creamy white bean soup with spicy paprika oil. I will send you the recipe if you like. It's very good. This kind of soup doesn't matter though. What matters is that even though the people I love are scared because most of the people I love are queer and trans and are terrified that their rights will be taken away, we still sat together and laughed. We still played games. We still forged those bonds that will carry us through to the path of resistance. So resistance looks like all of this. It looks like speaking truth to power, and it looks like making soup. It looks like eating bread, and it looks like shaking your fist in the street at the things that you see that are not right. We must see clearly. We must remember that the fight is long, that it has been going on for thousands of years, and that's hard. But I remember the lake. I remember the way that the frozen water will melt and will become a place of life again. This lake that has existed for thousands of years, perhaps even longer than when Jesus walked the earth, the lake still reminds us that this world, this creation, is good and that we are a part of it. We must join in the song of creation, of singing the glory of God. For Zion's sake, we must not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, we will not rest. Friends, the gospel is this. We too can make noise. We too can eat soup. And we too can love with all that we are the people around us, so that Jesus may walk among us once more. Amen.